Daddy's staying here with me now this morning if you can. Lord began to deal with my heart the other day while I've been down in Georgia preaching this week. And I was praying about the service this morning and asked the Lord to give us something special. I don't know if y'all too hot. Too hot. And I've got to think about all of our babies. So I'm going to preach a sermon this morning, if everybody give me attention, on this subject. Kids, everybody listen. The world's first baby. The world's first baby. Do you know who it was on the count of three? One, two, three. Don't say Adam, please. It was Cain. The first baby in the whole wide world. We're going to learn something from that story this morning. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4 this morning. And we're going to look at the world's first baby. Can you imagine how that must have been? Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife." You understand, if you're an adult, what that means. "And she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." We see here this morning the world's first baby. Adam and Eve did not grow up. When God made Adam, he was a full-grown man, probably in our sense of time, 30 years of age. 30 years of age. And Adam never was little. We don't know how long he stayed there in the Garden of Eden before the Lord, before all this happened, and they got kicked out and sin came into the world. But Adam just one day looked up and there was God, and looked around and there was the world, and looked around and there was animals as a full grown man. Then one day, God said, "Adam, lay down here and go to sleep." So Adam laid down and went to sleep. He said, you need a helpmate. And Adam said, "I sure do. I need somebody to go fishing with." And the Lord said, "No, I ain't talking about somebody to go fishing with." He said, you need somebody to complete you. And so while Adam was asleep, somebody said that God made Adam first so that he would have a chance to say something. That's what I heard. I don't know why God made Adam first. Somebody said God made Adam first because he didn't want nobody telling him how to make him. I don't know about that either. But I know that Adam laid down and he went to sleep. And then he woke up and the Lord says, "How you going?" And he goes, whoa, man. That's why he said, whoa, man. That's a man with a womb. And he named her Eve. So Eve didn't grow up either. She is full grown. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know if God set them down and talked to them, give them some kind of parenting classes or what. They've never been a baby before. Wasn't no Lamaze, thank God. That's the worst torture I've ever been through in my life. A Lamaze class. She just looked down one day and she said, "I'm feeling kind of sick." And he said, "Get you some Pepto-Bismol or Rolaids or something." She said, "Honey, I'm telling you, I'm..." And then one day she comes in and he said, "Honey, I don't mean to be fussing nothing, but you picked up a little, ain't you?" You don't say that. You know what I mean? You don't never say that. I mean, you ladies ought to know better than that. One of the meanest, dirtiest tricks a woman can pull on a man is put on a dress and say, "Do you think this makes me look fat? What do you want to do somebody like that for? That ought to be against the law." I mean, the poor guy can't win, man. Of course it does, or you wouldn't even ask that question. You wouldn't ask a question like that if you didn't. I mean, what's he going to say if he says, "Oh no, darling, you look great"? You'll say, "You're lying." If he says yes, you'll cut his head off. Don't ask somebody a question like, "Does this make me look fat, Lord?" Please, I mean, that's an impossible situation. Ain't no man can get out of a mess like that. But anyway, her belly kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. She said, honest to goodness, honey, I ain't hardly been eating nothing but salads and stuff. And I've been exercising and everything. I don't know what's matter with me. I'm not getting fat nowhere but right there. And it keeps coming out there, coming out there, coming out there. And then it begins to dawn. I don't really know if God set them down and explained what was going on. This had never happened before. This had never happened before. Adam and Eve wasn't that old. The first, I bet she thought, Lord have mercy. And then she began to realize there's another human being. They thought, well, we replenish the earth. This God's going to just do it like He did us. He'll just one day say, aren't y'all want a baby? Bam, there's or another person, a man from the Lord. There he was. But then it got closer and closer and closer. She started having pains. And I don't know. I mean, she didn't have nobody to help her. No nurse, no midwife. Nobody there but Adam. I'm telling you what, buddy, I would not have wanted to have been in his shoes. I don't know what Eve said when Cain was born. Just, I bet she probably said, oh, you know, like that. And what do you think Adam saw? Nobody had ever seen a newborn baby. Nobody had ever. It was the first one in history. I'll guarantee you, Adam looked down and said, ooh. I know he did. That had to be what he said. Ooh. I mean, the first baby ever born, brother, I'll never forget. I mean, one of the hardest things about being a preacher is having to tell people their babies are pretty. You have to ask God to forgive you every time. I mean, those little tiny babies, none of them look pretty to me. After they're about 6 months old and they're, you know, they got the right color and everything. When they're first born, Lord, when Carrie was first born, I thought, oh my goodness. Just little bitty shrink to and real red, their heads whopsided. I mean, like they're deformed or something. They're all their head. And I said, oh my Lord, what in the world? My daddy called Carrie Chigger for the first 2 years of her life. Called her Chigger. That was her nickname. Just little old bitty red thing. I don't know what Adam and Eve thought. Lord, I don't know. I have no idea. But ever since then, there's been 7 billion more babies born in this earth. Four every second come into this world. Like while I'm up here preaching, here's how fast babies will be born. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. That's how, every time my hand goes down, that's a baby being born. They're taking over. Listen, brother. I'm telling you, man, there's two dying. Here's how fast people are dying. 1, 2. Here's how fast people are being born. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four a second, two die. We're gaining two every second on this planet. Now, they say that baby boys' average weight is 7 and 4 fifths pounds. Girls, average 7 2/5 pounds, just slightly less. Boys average 20 1/2 inches. Girls average 20 inches. One baby, heaviest baby on earth, weighed 24 pounds at birth. I see ladies going, Lord have mercy. It does not say if the mother lived or not. Did you know? There are 6% more baby boys born than baby girls. If you're an atheist, explain that to me. 6% more baby boys than girls. Well, it's obvious why. The women kill them off. They get killed in wars. They live more dangerous life. They kill each other. And so, to average out the population, God lets 6% more baby boys be born than girls. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you're an evolutionist and you don't believe in God, all that purely accident, you know, and just happened all by itself. Somebody said that they said the other day that girls learn to talk first and boys learn to walk first. Very interesting, isn't it? Girls learn to talk first. Boys learn to walk first. That's right. Get out of here. Listen, I'm telling you, they just keep coming and keep coming. Somebody said a baby makes the nights longer, the days shorter, love stronger, the bankroll smaller, the home happier, your clothes shabbier, the past forgotten, and the future worth living for. I read this the other day. I studied. I read that they said a clean shirt nauseates a baby. You know, it smells a clean shirt, he'll throw up on it every time. I promise you. I knew a guy one time, you know, it's hard to get a man to play with babies. He held this little baby up like this, and boy, he was throwing it up. Hey, honey, hey, and that baby threw it right in his mouth. Oh, I got right there. I guarantee you, he didn't do that no more. You don't hold your baby up over your mouth like that right there. I'm telling you, man, there's something else. Somebody said that babies they don't get here full grown. You have to raise them. Can you imagine that? Let me say a few things about it this morning quickly. First of all, you know why God gives us babies? You know why God lets you have a baby in your home? Why didn't God just make everybody grown to start with? He could have. Seemed like it'd been a lot simpler. But God does it for three reasons. Number one, you know why God gives you a baby? I learned it to help you grow up. Amen? There's a lot of 25 and 30 and 35 and 40-year-old that never did grow up. And nothing will make you grow up any faster than looking down and seeing a little thing laying there and you think, I have to provide for it. I'm the one that has to pay for its food. I'm the one that has to make sure that you suddenly just grow up overnight. Don't you remember how when your first baby is born, you think, oh my goodness, I mean, like, this ain't a joke no more. I've got another person and I'm responsible. I'm going to make sure they got somewhere to sleep. I have to make sure they've got something to eat. I have to make sure it's my job. It's no longer optional no more for me just to goof off, make money if I want to and don't make money if I've got to now. I've got to. I have a responsibility. Oh, it'll make you grow up real fast, brother. I remember when Carrie was first little, you know, you learn a lot with your first baby that you don't go through with the next one and the next one and the next one. I heard some women, when their first baby goes, wah, they run and grab it and pick it up. You don't do that with the second one and third one. You say, you need the lung exercise. Lay there, get some duct tape. I'll close the door. You don't just get them every time they make a little whimper. I mean, they'll run you crazy. But when she was little, she'd have the bellyache. And when she'd have the bellyache, she couldn't sleep, and she'd start crying, and you could rock her like this, and she'd quit. But as soon as you laid her in the bed, she'd start crying again. And I remember what we'd do. We'd get out, and I'd done it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and put her in the car and drive down the road somewhere. Just drive anywhere. Just drive anywhere. She'd go right to sleep. Something about that car doing like this right here, you know. Well, just put her out. You'd say, oh, thank God. It's 3:30 in the morning. I can't wait to get back in the bed. You'd take her out of the car like this. Ease back in the house. And as soon as you lay her down, you go lay down. Well, here it goes again. I don't know, I'm telling you, you'll do some growing up during those days. You'll do some growing up when you've got to get up in the middle of the night. And boy, you know, I've done it. I know this is child abuse, but I've done it. Lord, I put the pillow over my head, hoping they'd shut up and go back to sleep. How many's ever done that? Raise your hand. I'm not the only parent in here that's abused a kid. You put that pillow in your head and say, shut up. I say, Lord, please let him go back to sleep. Lord, please, Lord. I'm so sleepy. And boy, God made that cry so annoying that you can't sleep through it. He made that cry. There's just nothing that'll get on your nerve. Wah, 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 and just on it. And on and on and on. And that's finally God saying, get up, you lazy thing. Get in there and take care of that baby. I'm telling you something. God gives us our babies to help us grow up. Amen. Changing a diaper. Listen, I think every man ought to change a diaper. Amen. Say amen right there, girls. Amen. They ought to have to. You say, did you do it? Yes, I did it. And I hated every second of it. I've seen young girls go in and say, oh, I want to change this diaper. I never want to change no stupid diaper. I'm telling you, brother, that'll make a dog throw up. I used to hold them out like that right there. Oh, I can't throw them in the trash can. And why does it have to be like that? I mean, why? You know, God could have fixed that where it wouldn't have smelled bad. God could have made that where it would have smelled like perfume. But because of sin on this earth, how can something smell so good when you eat it and smell so bad when it comes out? How can strawberry shortcake or anything smell good? And because it's been in you for a few hours. And you're such a sinner, you make anything stink. That's right. That's the only way I know how to explain it. But I'm telling you, you'll do some growing up. You'll do some growing up. I'm telling you, they didn't have no parenting classes. The Lord began to teach me. So when one of my kids would do something, and I'd say, do this, and they'd sort of stub up on me, the Lord would say, that's the same way you do me. How many of you have ever seen yourself when you're in your kids? And it's just like the Lord said, that's the way you do. That's the way you do. And I say, Lord, they won't listen. And the Lord said, that's the way you do. You won't listen. And I say, well, Lord, help my kids to do right when nobody's around. And the Lord said, you do right when nobody's around. You know why God gives you kids? To make you grow up. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Some of you men need to take a responsibility and say, I am the man. It's time for me to grow up. It's time for me to put away childish things and say, I'll be the man of my house. Put food on the table. Pay the bills. And make sure my kids has got what they need to have. Listen, some of you guys, if you want to father a baby, but you don't want to grow up enough to take care of a baby. You want to have all the privileges of a man, but you don't want to take the responsibilities of a man. You want to say, boy, I'm big and tough. I'm 17. I can get a girl pregnant. Well, if you're big enough to get her pregnant, you're big enough to get a job and pay for it. Say amen right there. Amen. It'll make you grow up. Say amen again right there. God gives you a baby to make you pay for it. To make you grow up. To let you see your sinful nature in it. Number two. I will say something else about it. You know, they say the perfect example of the minority rule is a baby in the house. A baby will make a man out of his daddy and a boy out of his granddaddy. That's right, brother. That's right. You know something? I heard about this man. He's over a ruler over another country. And he's a leader of Greece. And he looked down and saw his little baby and he said, my son, you are the most powerful man in all of Greece. The Athenians rule the Hellenes. I rule the Athenians. Your mother rules me and you rule your mother. The little baby's the most powerful man in all of Greece. Number two, let me say this morning. You know why God gives you kids? God gives you kids to bond husband and wife together. Instead of just you and him or you and her, it's now a circle. You know what the weirdest thing about a baby is when they start growing up especially is you start seeing a little bit of each of you in that kid. It's part of both of you. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. You can't, there's no business deal. Money can't buy that. Man can't do that. That is an act of God. A baby is a miracle. It's a miracle. It's part of you and part of him. It's part of her and a part of you. It's you start saying, and I know what everybody does. You take credit on your side for all the good things it does. Baby does good in school, ha! Just like his daddy. And boy, he goes, pizza, pizza! He's just like his mama. Ain't that the way we do? You're acting just like your daddy. When you want to blame all of his bad parts, he's like his daddy and all the good parts, I know how that goes. But you know what? It'll bond the husband and wife. That's what when we say bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll bond you. You know what all mamas and daddies here ought to do today? You ought to look at each other and say, look, we have this baby together. It's part of me. It's part of you. We're going to do the very best we can to raise it for Jesus Christ and to teach it right. Serve God, and I will take my responsibility. Take some responsibility, men. Take your responsibility, ladies. I don't think a lady ought to just run off and leave her kids so she can go off and have her social life and give it to mama to raise so she can go out and live like she wants to. I don't think a man ought to be out with his buddies partying all the time when he's got a baby to raise and take care of and a little boy or a little girl at home. And mama ought not to be out just loafing up. I've heard of mamas leaving their kids with somebody and taking off the beach with a bunch of her friends. Listen, you had a chance to be a teenager when you was a teenager. Now you're a mama. Act like a mama. Grow up. Behave like a mama. Treat that kid right. Raise that kid. Your baby needs you more than anybody in this world. Listen, when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot. We wasn't rich. But I never, ever, ever remember coming home and my mama wasn't there. I never went to bed at night when my mama wasn't there. I mean, there was a while there she got a job and my grandma stayed with us and I hated it. I was about 4 years old. I had to be less than around 4 or 5 years old because before we moved to Nebo when I lived in Clinchfield, and I'll never forget my grandma babysitted us for a while and I hated it. I said, "Where's my mama? Where's mom? Where's my mama?" A baby wants his mama at home. You say, "Well, I've got to work." I understand. I understand how our economy is now. I understand sometimes you get yourself in a mess and you have to work. But you spend all the time you can with that baby while they're little because ain't nobody going to raise that baby like it's real mama and it's real daddy. To bond husband and wife. Number three, I'm going to say this morning. You know why God gives you a baby? To instruct that baby to heaven. One of the wildest thoughts that struck me when I looked down at mine when they were born was that that kid is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever somewhere. And a large part of where would depend on me. You know, the longer I live, the more I realize that kids get so much from their... I can see so much of my daddy coming out in me, it's scary. And the longer you live, the more you'll be a man like it. Unless God works in your life, a boy will turn out just like his daddy or worse. Unless God does something for him. A woman will turn out just like her mama or worse unless God does. Can't you feel it coming out? They teach you stuff without even trying to. You inherit attitudes. You inherit traits. You inherit... If your daddy was a real hard worker, most time you're a real hard worker. If your daddy is a businessman, you'll lean toward being a businessman. If your mom's a good house cleaner, usually a girl will be a good house cleaner. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. As Moses said, Brother Donovan said down there in Florida, he said, "You boys, when you go to marry a girl," he said, "you look at her mama real good. Because she ain't going to just look like her, she'll act like her." Unless God does a work. Now, if God gets a hold of them, they can live right and serve God. But unless God does a miracle, most of the time we do just like our parents. And that's why it's so important. Listen, people, hear me this morning. That's why it's important that every man get up on Sunday morning, get his family up, get them in the car, get them to the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night. You mamas, teach your kids the Bible. Show them the right way. They're going to do like you teach them to do. They're going to do like you teach them. It's shocking. My mom taught me. She drilled stuff into my head. She preached to me. My mom preached to us all the time when I was growing up. I'll never forget. She told me not to steal. She told me to... She said, "Danny, you'd better treat people right." She said, and I'll never forget her doing that. Never, ever. You mothers cannot do anything greater than set them kids on your knee in the evening, open a big old family Bible, read them about Cain and Abel, read them about, read them these stories. I used to tell... carrying Bible stories when she was little, and I remember telling her stories, and I told them all stories, but I'll never forget me telling her the story of Samuel. And I used to tell her the story of Samuel. And I said, "Carrie, this little boy named Samuel, you ask her right now, she can tell you the whole story." And She lay in the bed, and I tell her the Bible story. I said, the Lord didn't let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And I remember at night, she'd say, Daddy, tell me a story. Daddy, tell me a Bible story. And I said, all right, David. And she'd get in her bed. I'd say, cover up. She'd put the cover up about right here. This is when she's like 4 or 5 years old. And I said, David went down there, and there was a big old giant. He's ugly. And I'd jump up on the coffee table. And I said, the giant was mean. He was mean. Oh, he was mean. And she'd lay there like this right there, her eyes that big around. And I'd say, and here come David. Here come David. Boy, he knocked his head off. He whacked his head off of that sword. David killed that giant. Oh! And you know what? Her friends started coming home with her when they was in junior high school. And there'd be about 6 of them in the living room, 4 in it. And they'd all say, Brother Danny, tell us a story. I'd do that in the living room, brother. I mean, I was into it. They'd rather watch me do that and watch TV when they was little. I'm telling you, boy, I'd get into it. I'd cut the giant's head off. I'd all that. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can't tell stories. Just get into it, man. Lose yourself. Make the Bible real to them. Make it come alive. Amen. Tell them, listen, God gave you them kids to instruct them to heaven. I don't want one of my girls to go to hell. Listen, I'd rather my girls be saved than to be the most popular girl in the world. I told you the other day what was going to happen to Hannah Montana. She's following the same footsteps as Britney Spears was. And somebody brought me this article. One of our church members brought me this. And it shows Britney Spears back in 1999 and Hannah Montana now, and she's following right in her footsteps. Barely 15 years old, and that's how they make her look. Barely 15. And I will tell you something, though. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Your girls, your boys, it'd be more important for them to stand in the choir and sing and know God and know His presence and die and go to heaven than it would be to make $1 million. $1 million and die without God and go to hell when they leave this world. Instruct them. Instruct them. Instruct them, brother. Teach them. They made a survey some time ago of 600 teenagers in prison and juvenile centers. 600. Out of those 600 teenagers, 60% of them, daddy was an alcoholic. Alcohol finally got them. 60%. 75% had no rules in their home. They could come and go as they pleased. 75% of teenagers in prison had no rules at home. 70% had no family activities. Stuff that all the family did together. And nearly 100% had no family altar and didn't go to Sunday school. 100%. They said there was not a kid in that juvenile center out of 600 that the family gathered around at night and prayed before they went to sleep. God gave you them kids. Years ago, this is a true story. Years ago, a boy went to his father. He said, Daddy, my life's all a mess. His daddy was a businessman, very busy. The boy went to his daddy and he said, Daddy, I'm going to just kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. He said, Son, there's something wrong with you. They had him locked up in the institution and giving treatments for suicidal thoughts. And he stayed in there a year and he come out and was considered cured. He found him a girlfriend, a very beautiful young lady. They got married. At the beginning, she expected a child. And when the baby was born, the girl died during childbirth. It distressed the boy so bad that he just sunk and got almost a nervous breakdown. Then they come and told him, they said, there's something wrong with your baby. The baby will never be normal. It'll never be able to feed itself or eat. It could possibly be retarded all of its life. And that boy took a gun and went out and shot himself in the head and committed suicide. His daddy wasn't there for him. And now he wasn't there for his son. His son grew up and stood in a long line outside of Buffalo, New York to shake the president of the United States' hand, President McKinley. And when it got his turn to shake the president's hand, that boy pulled out a revolver and shot President McKinley dead. One of the few times in history our president's been murdered. And it was because his daddy didn't have time for him, committed suicide, and his daddy didn't have time for him. You can go all the way back. All the way back. You can study kids, families in prison and in jail and trouble, and nine times out of ten it's always because a daddy somewhere didn't have time for his kids. Not always, but many times. That boy was brought to justice and he was executed. I heard about this woman one time, had raised two good boys. And somebody asked her one time, said, "How'd you raise such good boys?" And she said, "Oh, when they was little..." She said, "I'd take that little boy in there and I'd give him a bath. And while I was giving him a bath, I'd say, 'Lord, bless this little boy. Lord, just keep him clean. Wash him in the blood of Jesus. Lord, bless him.'" She said, whenever I wrapped him up in his little blanket and I put him in the bed, I said, "Lord, bless this little boy. Watch over him and keep him safe tonight while he's asleep." She said, "Every morning when I gave him breakfast, when I was sticking that food in his mouth, she said, 'Lord, bless this little boy. Feed him with the Word of God and help him to learn how to eat it.'" She said, "Every day when he got big enough to go to school," she said, "before he went out there to get on the school bus, I'd say, 'Lord, take care of him and bless him. Watch over him at school. Don't let him get involved in nothing he shouldn't get involved. Build a hedge around him, Lord. Build a hedge around him, Lord.'" And she said, "Every night when he come home," she said, "I'd lay him down to sleep, before he went to sleep, and I'd pray for him again." And I know that's old fashioned. I know people think that's silly, but she literally prayed for that kid all his life. God gave her two boys that live for Him and serve Him. I'm telling you this morning, it's a lot more important than what you think it is. Your kid needs your love and your time more than they need all these things. Some people think, "Well, I'm working a lot. I'll buy him a new cell phone, or I'll buy him a new Xbox, or I'll buy him a new four-wheeler. I'm not saying them things are wrong, but your kids need your time and your love more than they need things. God gave you a baby to instruct them to heaven. And you're a success as a parent this morning if your kids are saved and on your way to heaven. I always prayed, "Lord, let me lead all three of them to Jesus," which I did. And I pray, "Lord, the first time they get under conviction, let them come to you." And I used to tell my girls, I knew this preacher's kid and they grew up in church, and I knew that I didn't want them to get deceived and I didn't want them to get a counterfeit because of the pressure would be on them at a young age. And so I didn't push them into getting saved. I'd say, "Now, when you're ready to get saved, you come tell me." And I made them. I mean, "Come and tell me." I said, "I want you to get saved." Because, you know, you can push a 5 or 6 year old into anything. And I said, "You tell me." And all three of them did. We'd have a big service at church and on hell or something like that and scare the fire out of them. And they'd get under conviction. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know why God gave you that little baby? God gave you that little baby to help you grow up. God gave you that little baby to help you understand His grace and help you learn some things. God gave you that baby to bond husband and wife together, and God gave you that baby to instruct it to heaven. And you give that baby to the Lord, give yourself to the Lord, He'll bless you for it. Let's stand with heads bowed.